Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Church by the Glades, since you're on your feet, can you give Jesus some praise? God, we bless you. God, we honor you. Man, it is good to be. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. I didn't tell you could sit down yet. I'm messing. I just want you to stand just for a few seconds longer because I'm going to brag on your pastors really quickly. And then I want you to raise this roof and thank God for the pastors that God has given you. But before you scream, let me just brag on them. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it takes a brother from Baltimore to let you know the pastors you have are not normal. Yeah. Not every church is as honored and gifted to have people like Pastor David and Pastor Lisa. 2 years ago, my family went through a tragedy. My brother actually lost a child. And if you've ever been through that season, you just know it's a punch in the stomach. And we were just devastated. And I called Pastor David up and he said, send him down here. Let us take care of them. Let us love on them. Let us hug them. And they came down and spent a week and kind of was just here and was spending time with the staff. And I'm telling you, there's people that are friends. There's ministry partners and all that. But there's people that didn't come from your home, but they're more like family at the level that they have your back and the level that they care and they love for you. I'm telling you, I would jump in front of a train for your pastors because they have been that in our lives. So I know you just clap, but now can you clap and scream and thank God and honor God for the pastors that you've given them. Also love their kids, Charlie, Victoria, Zane, some of the greatest. You have to understand, I'm a pastor's kid. Pastor kids don't come out like this. I was a lot more ratchet, a lot more prideful. You guys have challenged me in who I am, and I'm so grateful how you guys have welcomed us. Y'all ready to sit now? Your knees here. Before you sit down, high five two people. Tell somebody it's about to get wild. Come on, tell somebody. It's about to go down. If you have a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19, verse 10. If you don't have a Bible, you can use your iPhone, you can use your iPad, or you can use your eyelids and look up on the screen and the verse. Man, you guys are so good. You laugh at even the bad jokes. This is gonna be good. While you're turning there, man, I just want you to scream. My best thing that's ever happened to me in my life, my beautiful wife is here, Zai Chandler. Can you wave? I'm going to throw up a picture of my family. They said, if you see my family, you'll love me more. This little one here is Zoe. She goes by Zozo. She is 2.5. And then my youngest is Roman. He goes by Roro. And you can tell we're not very creative when it comes to nicknames. But we are excited because we left them home. Which means last night is the best sleep we have had in a long time. So I want to apologize in advance for this being a 3-hour message, but I'm in no hurry to get back home. So we're going to be here for a while. Do you guys have Exodus? I'm reading from chapter 19, verse 10. And it says this, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them. That word consecrate means to prepare them, to get them ready. Today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and let them be ready for the third day. Somebody say third day.
Third day.
Remember that, it's going to be key. Because on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Skipping to verse 18. It says, now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So all the smoke that you see in this room, it's not a Glades thing. We do it at our church also. It's biblical. There was smoke before the beginning of time. Or at least that's what I tell my church. It says the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful, God, for this moment, for this time to spend in your presence. And God, we know that you're here because you said in your word, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be also. So God, we are anxious to hear what you have to say to us. We are on the edge of our seats. We say, speak, Lord. God, I pray that you would heal my heart from LeBron James not being in the playoffs. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I don't know why y'all are laughing. I'm tore up about this. This is like the first time in my life we're gonna have playoffs without LeBron, and it's gonna be rough. That's why I'm not watching. I have many strengths. There are many things that I'm good at. There are many strengths that God's given me, but patience is not one of them. I think when God was in heaven and he was handing out different gifts to babies, that's kind of how it works in my mind. It's not theologically correct, but in my mind, I feel like God like gives babies all their gifts and then he sends them down to earth. Well, when that was going down, I must have been in the bathroom or something because I missed the patience line. I just don't have much patience. I'm the type of guy that if we're at a red light and you're the car in front of me, when that light turns green, I expect you to go. I mean, I feel like it's a universal understanding that green means go. And if it takes you longer than 1 millisecond to go, I am gonna remind you with my horn, let's go. Get off your phone, start moving. Can somebody say amen? Y'all are just as impatient as I am. What really irritates me is when I'm like four cars back. So it's me, there's two cars, and then that person. The light turned green, they don't move, and the two cars in front of me don't honk. Did your car not come with a horn? Don't worry about it, I got this covered. Let's go. It's like, we gotta move. Now, you may not like be like me, you may not be wired. I'm a little wired, I'm a little hype anxious. They try to give me an energy drink before that. I'm like, I don't need this, I bring my own energy. But I've realized that no matter your temperament, for so many of us, I dare say most of us, we spend our lives focused on what's coming next and not actually what we're experiencing right now. So many of us, I would dare say all of us, are grateful that today we are further along than we were yesterday. And let me encourage, that's a good place to say amen. Let me encourage you that if you're here today and you're like, man, I thought I would be better off in life. I thought I'd be further than I am right now. You may not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. He is faithful and he is good and he is moving you along. But we spend life focused on yesterday, or we spend life focused on what's coming next. There may be some young folks in here, maybe not, but do you remember what it was like to be 13? I remember when I was 13, I was focused on one thing, being 16, so I could get a driver's license and get out of this house. And what happens when you turn 16? You realize a driver's license doesn't mean freedom because you still live with your parents. So now you're focused on getting 18, because when I'm 18, I'm gone. Until you turn 18 and you find out, guess what? I'm out their house and I'm broke. This is not what's up. I'm tired of eating ramen noodle. I can't wait to get out of college so I can get a real job and I can have some money. And then you get out of college and what happens? You're still broke, because now you got student loans and you got a crummy first job or whatever. And as soon as you get out of college, you're like, I can't wait to get married. As soon as you get married, you're like, I can't wait to have my first kid. As soon as you have kids, you're like, I can't wait for them to sleep. As soon as they sleep, I can't wait for them to go to school. Then you're like, I can't wait for them to get out of school. I can't wait for them to give me grandbabies. It's always, I can't wait for next. But I'm telling you, there's something that God is doing in the now that if we're so focused on next, we can miss what God is doing now. And I'll tell you, the way that we steward now is going to determine how we dominate next. One of the most popular stories in the Bible is when God brought Israel out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land. He took a man by the name of Moses. Moses was raised as a Jew, but he was also raised in Pharaoh's palace. He was too Jewish to be Egyptian, but he was too Egyptian to be Jewish. Have you ever felt like you don't fit in anywhere? That's kind of like my experience. I'm American. I was born and raised in Maryland, but my folks are Caribbean. They're from Barbados. So I'm what you call a Bajan Yankee, which means I'm too Caribbean to be American, but I'm too American to be Caribbean. So I celebrate Thanksgiving. I just don't eat turkey. I eat jerk turkey and beef patties and coconut rolls. And I'm just all the way confused. I don't know where I am. And what I've discovered is sometimes when you don't fit in, it's because God's called you to lead the crowd, not to blend in to the crowd. I won't go into it, but long story short, Moses got caught up on some charges. He had a past. So he ran for his life, and he ended up spending 40 years of his life in the desert, in the wilderness, in the wild, raising his father-in-law's sheep. And it was while he was out there, not where he used to be and not where he wanted to be, but kind of in the middle of nowhere, that he had a life-defining encounter. In Exodus chapter 3, it tells us that Moses was leading the sheep, minding his business. And as he walked by this bush, he noticed that the bush was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. Not only that, the bush began to talk to him. Now, I don't care if you believe in God or not, if you're atheist, agnostic, it doesn't matter. When a bush starts talking to you, oh, you gonna pay attention. You've never seen that before. And here's what it says that God said to Moses out of that bush in verse 4. It says, so when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, God said to him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now, let me help you out with this because you might have missed the original text right there. When God calls your name twice, my name's Stephen. When God says, Stephen, Stephen, it's the equivalent of your mama using your middle name. You know what I mean? Some of you grew up in a house like that, where if they call you by your first name, you're good. Come, but don't rush. But when I heard Stephen Rodney Chandler, that meant one of two things, either run to her or run away from her. But don't you dare stay right there. You better move. He said, Moses, Moses. Moses said, Moses was scared. He's like, what I do is not my fault. He said, here I am. Then God said this. He said, don't draw near to this place. Take your Yeezys off. Is that what my Bible said? For the place where you're standing, watch this, is holy ground. God said, Moses, where you are is holy. Watch this. Moses wasn't in church. He wasn't in a temple. He wasn't in a palace. He was in the middle of nowhere. What made the middle of nowhere holy? God was there. He was trying to get Moses to understand what's going on around you is not what matters as much as where I am, because wherever I am, that's where there's peace, that's where there's joy, that's where there's strength. You can be in the middle of nowhere and still have joy. And he said, Moses, here's what I need you to do. Go back and get Israel and lead them through the same wilderness that you've spent the last 40 years in to a place where they can encounter me. I find all of us, every single person in this room, you have certain things in your past that you're so glad you're over that and you have no intentions of going back to it. It's like been there, done that, got the t-shirt, don't want to go back. And I'm not trying to bring up old hurts or pains or thoughts. God brings healing from that. But I dare say God doesn't want us to forget about our past. And here's why. Because there's other people that are in the middle of situations that you've survived, but they don't think that they can survive. And God wants to sent you back to them to encourage them and said, hey, are you in the middle of a divorce? I've been there, done that. And guess what I discovered? God is still with me and God is still for me and he still has my best days ahead of me. Have you had an abortion? Been there, done that. And guess what I've discovered? The love of God covers over every mistake and he still has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for my life. If you're struggling with an addiction, if you've been through a bankruptcy, whatever it may be, there's somebody that God has called you to go back and encourage and to let them know it's not over. If you're breathing, your best days are ahead of you. Say a better amen than that. By the way, these next two Sundays are the best time of the year to reach back and encourage somebody to come into the house of God. Easter weekend is the time where people are most likely to say, yes, I'll check your church out. I'll check your God out. And here's what you know. It's not a church you're trying to get them to. It's into the presence of God so that they can realize that they are not a waste. They are not a mistake. God has great. Look at somebody next to you. Tell them, invite. Come on, tell somebody, invite. What I want to do is I want to give you just three quick thoughts of how do I learn to maximize this waiting season of life where I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not quite where I want to be yet. The first thing is this. If you love Jesus, write this down. If you don't love Jesus, still write this down. The whole point of the waiting season, the whole point is his presence. God brought Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. It was a 2-week journey that took them 40 years. Not 40, 40. Now I'm 32, I'm not 12, I'm 32. So I can't even fathom waiting on something for 40 years. Why in the world would they be on pause that long? It's because God was trying to show them something and they were missing it. He was trying to show them himself. You see, when they were slaves in Egypt, they had heard about God, but they had never encountered God. You know, it's not good enough that your parents told you about God or that your grandma prayed for you or that the pastor, you need to meet him for yourself. And God says, I want to reveal myself to you. Not only had they never encountered God, but in Egypt at that time, they recognized over 2,000 gods. In Egypt, everybody and their mama was a god. I mean, they had a river god, they had a Nile god, they had a sun god, they had a fertility god. Clearly, there was no basketball god because LeBron would be in the playoffs right now. But they had a god for everything. And God said, there were so many things that were competing for your attention that I had to get you off to myself that you can realize that I am the one true God and the one that's worth dedicating your life to. Now, right now in America, I wouldn't say that there's 2,000 different gods that are worshiped, but I would say there are thousands of different things that are competing for your attention. I know right now, in the first 10 minutes of this message, most of you have gotten about 10 text messages. The others of you have checked Instagram at least 4 times between now and last time we hit Exodus chapter 19. I mean, there's just constantly things that are bombarding, that are fighting. There's kids, there's work, there's marriage, there's not marriage, and I wish there was marriage. There's finances, and there's no finances, and I wish there were finances. There's all these things that are competing for our attention. And can I dare say competing for our worship?
So true.
Because worship is not a time or a lifted hand. Worship is where we give our time to. And God said, those other things in your life are not bad, but for this season, I just want you to myself that I can show you how great I am. He said, bring all of Israel, and it's coincidentally, to the exact same mountain where the bush was burning and Moses met God for the first time. He said, bring the whole country to meet with me. And here's what I want to tell them. In verse 6, he says, here's what I want the nation of Israel to know, that you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Somebody say kingdom,
kingdom.
And priest.
Priest.
These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now I'm going to ask you a question. There's only one answer to it. The answer is yes, and then you scream. Got it? Cool, it's not hard at all. How many people love God's word?
Yeah.
Cool. It's not that hard. 6 p.m. didn't get that last night, but that's all right. I cannot tell you how much I love God's word, and here's why. Because it all connects. It all speaks things to our lives that were meant for us. God says, I want all of Israel to gather around that I can let them know they're not normal, they're not average, that they're a royal priesthood. The only problem is Israel didn't want to be God's special people. They said, we don't want to stick out. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. We want to look like all the countries around us. We want to fit in. Listen to me. It is dangerous when we as Christians want to fit in and look like everybody else in the world. I don't want to stick out and look like I'm super spiritual, my Bible-toting Jesus lover. Listen to me. The blood of Jesus has redeemed our past and has defined our future. We should not fit in. We should stand out. They said, no. We want to look like everybody else. We want to stand out. So watch this. That word that God spoke hovered throughout history for thousands of years. Because the Bible says that not one word God speaks shall return void. So I was reading my Bible one day and I stumbled across 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm like, this sounds familiar. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal. Where have I heard that before? A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his might. That's the same word that God spoke over Israel, but because Israel rejected it, watch that, it now is able to be received by you and I through the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to be my royal priesthood. I want you to be a people that are set apart unto me. But he said, here's the problem. If you don't get in my presence, you're not gonna know that you're royalty. Look at the person next to you, help me preach. Look at the person next to you, tell them you're not normal. Come on, tell somebody. You did it wrong. Some people got it, some people didn't. Here's what you gotta do. Tell them they're not normal and then chuckle 3 times afterwards. Say, you're not normal. It has a completely different meaning. It's like, I knew you weren't normal. This is church. And church is a place where you're supposed to lay your burdens down. And I'm not gonna lie to you, I've been carrying a burden for a while now that I just need to confess and get it off my heart. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Y'all some judgmental people. Y'all like, what you do? No, seriously, it's been weighing on me. About a year ago, I spent probably about 3 hours of my life watching something that I shouldn't have watched. I spent 3 hours watching the royal wedding. It was magical. I mean, I cried. I felt like I had a family member getting married. It was unbelievable. Did you see her dress? Her dress was designed by a designer named Claire Keller for Givenchy. It was amazing. Her veil, oh my goodness, they had flowers embroidered into her veil that represented every nation that's under the Commonwealth of England. And by the way, I did give up my man card afterwards, and it was worth it. Pray for me, I need help. But here's the thought that crossed my mind, and it doesn't quite translate here in America because we have a democracy, so we don't kind of think that way. But over in England, they have some sense of a monarchy, meaning kings and queens. And in England, as a child is born from the king or the queen and they're a prince or a princess, here's the thought that crossed my mind. Never did Prince Harry, Prince Charles, any of them, when they were born or throughout their life, think this thought. I wonder what I'm gonna do with my life. I wonder what I'm gonna be one day. They never had that thought of what am I gonna be one day. Because the day they were born, based on who their father was and who their mother was, their future was secure from day one. Listen to me, as a child of God, you are the son or daughter of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords. Your future is secure. Why are you so worried? Why are you so stressed out? Why the anxiety of, I gotta pull myself up by my bootstraps. I gotta make something of myself. No, you were made the day that Jesus hung on that cross and canceled every mistake that you've ever made. Your future is secure. But you won't know your royalty and you won't feel like royalty until you get into the presence of God. How do I get into the presence of God? I'm so glad you asked. Somebody say third day. Here's how you meet with God. You make an appointment. What's an appointment? It's a specific time and a specific place. God said, in 3 days on this mountain, meet me and I'm gonna show up. Can I challenge you something? Over these next 6 days, make an appointment with God before you come back to church. It may be 15 minutes over your lunch break. You can eat fast, take a little bit of shorter lunch. Maybe it's 15 minutes, you wake up a little bit earlier or turn the TV off early at night and say, hey, I'm gonna spend 15 minutes with God. But I'm telling you, if you set an appointment with God, he will show up. Okay, so after he shows up, what do? It's like a blind date. Talk to him. You got an iPhone, you got an Android, whatever. Turn some music on. Begin to worship. Read your Bible. Where should I read? On the inside. It's a good place to start. What should I talk to him about? Whatever's on your heart. There's no right way to pray. The right way to pray is to talk about what's on your heart. And he says in that moment, he will bring a peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard your heart and guard your mind. The second thing is this, write this down. If we skip his presence, we forfeit his promise. So the Bible says that all of Israel gathered around this mountain and God was on the top of this mountain and he said he showed up like fire and the mountain began to shake. It says there was smoke that was billowing out and trumpets were blowing louder and louder and louder. And Israel saw this mountain where God was and they said, oh no, 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 no. I'm not going up there. You go up, Moses, and come back and tell us what God said, but we're scared. That's Baltimore talk for scared. Is that how y'all say it in Florida? We're scared. Scared. Here's what happened. They saw the power of God, and they got afraid. They said, we're not perfect, and God might, he might do something to us. So we'll just stay down here, and Moses, if you make it down alive, tell us what he said. There's so many people that think that God's angry at them because you've made a mistake. You think that God's out to get you, that God's out to punish you. Listen to me. Jesus took all the punishment for your sins on his life. God has no punishment for you. He's not trying to get back at you. He's trying to bring you in to his family, to a place of safety and comfort. But Israel said, no, you go up and come back and tell us what he said. And here's what that has caused. It's caused churches to be packed full of people who think it's the pastor's job to hear from God and come down every Sunday and tell me what God said. So good. It is not the pastor. That's a good place to say amen. It's not the pastor's job to hear from God and to speak to you what God said for you. It's the pastor's job to teach you to hear from God for yourself because God wants to speak to you. He wants to be involved in your life. John 15, 15 says this. It says, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you. God says, I want to be friends. Not master, servant, but friends. For everything I've learned from my father, I have made known to you. Israel only knew a little bit about God because their relationship with God was through somebody else. God says, I don't want you to have a relationship with me through your pastor, through your mama, through your grandma, through anybody. I want to know you for myself. So watch this. They missed the mountain encounter. And they went on and they came up to the edge of the promised land that God had for them. And when they got to this land that God promised them, the land flowing with milk and honey, the plan that they've been waiting for, maybe you're on the edge of something. Maybe you're engaged and you're getting ready to get married. Maybe you're launching that business in a few months or whatever it may be. You're on the edge of that promise. Guess what Israel found? That there were giants in their promise. The promised land wasn't empty. It was occupied, not by people, but by angry people with swords that had no intention of giving up what they had. They sent spies in. They said, oh my gosh, there's giants there. They're bigger than us. This is what they said in Numbers 13:33. It says, we saw giants there. They were surprised. You know what cracks me up? God wasn't. He knew giants were going to be there the day he told them it was theirs. They were the only ones shocked. And they said, next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they, the giants, thought too. Now I'm a little bit ignorant. I ask my Bible questions. Here's the question I ask. You were scared of those giants because you told us. So I know and you know that they never spoke to the giants. So how do you know what those giants thought about you when you never asked them? They didn't know. You know what they were listening to? The fear that was speaking to them in their own heart. There's so many of us that there's something great that God has spoken in front of us, and we feel like, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to get married because I'll only mess it up. I'm not going to launch this business. I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. And it's the fear that's speaking to you. And here's what struck me. If they had gone up on that mountain and stood in the midst of that thunder and that lightning and that fire and realized that that power wasn't against me. That power was for me, and God is backing me, and he's against all of my enemies. They wouldn't have been afraid of those giants because they would have met the creator of those giants and would have known greater is he that's with me than he that's in the world. When I skip God's presence, I become intimidated by God promises. But when I get in his presence, there's a boldness that comes upon me. The last thing is this, write this down. His presence is life. I had the honor 2 years ago, 2017, to actually go to Israel. You want to talk about a bucket list trip. I mean, to literally walk where Jesus walked. We went to the stream where David got the stone that killed Goliath. It was like, no, that's not the story. It happened right here. It was mind blowing. I was there for 10 days. It was the best 5 days of my life. About 5 days in, I'm like, Jesus, I just want a cheeseburger, man. Can I get a cheeseburger? We had this overambitious tour guide that wanted us to see the entire Bible in 10 days. I'm like, lady, it took 3,000 years to write that thing. I don't think we're going to see the whole thing in 10 days. Like, slow down. But when I got there, something caught me off guard. You know, you read in the Bible about Israel, the land flowing with milk and honey and wealth and prosperity. And I just imagine this beautiful country. And it's not that Israel's not beautiful, but the majority of it is desert. There's treacherous mountains all through the north and the west, and south is desert, and then there's the Mediterranean Sea to the east, and they are surrounded by enemies. And I'm kind of like, God, this don't look that good. Is this the promise? And here's what he said to me. It's not the land that made it the promised land. It's my presence in that land that made it the promised land. It was prosperous because I was there. It was beneficial because I was there. And God wants to give you great things. But if you look for that thing to be your source of joy, you're going to miss the fact that things don't bring joy. God does. You're like, man, my marriage is going to work because I found my soulmate. I found my soulmate. I find somebody who finally understands me. Listen, boo-boo, nobody understands you. Marriage doesn't work because you found your soulmate. Marriage works because God is there. Your business doesn't prosper because you're that smart. You're not that smart. Your business prospers because God's presence is there. You don't raise great kids because you're a great parent. You raise great kids because God's God's presence is there. And he said, hey, if I can get you committed to my presence, you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's about his presence that brings joy to every area of our life. Stand up on your feet and give God a praise in this place. Hallelujah. Can I pray for you? Father God, we're grateful that God, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. God, we're praying that even though we're not quite where we want to be, God, that you teach us to focus on your presence that brings life. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.